Click kaya959.co.za.
This is how we do it.
To download the Point of View podcast.
Point of View.
On Kaya 959.
With Pimelo Mudine.
What's yours?
Well, thank you so much for staying with us. It's one of our favorite features here on Point of View. It's when we discuss books and we are sometimes, in conversation with other people who are interested in books, maybe who are themselves bookshop owners and the like, but always a treat when we speak to the author themselves. So on the line with us today, we have an author that is someone who I think many, many of you are familiar with, particularly when you see her. This is quite an iconic face in South Africa, a young activist, somebody who has really got us talking, engaging, and she's released her second book, none other than author and activist Zuleika Patel, on the line with us this evening. Zuleika, good evening and welcome, and such a wonderful treat to have you on the show.
Good evening to you too. Thank you for having me. Are you able to hear me clearly?
Loud and clear. It's really such a pleasure to have you on the show. Zuleika, it's your second book. I think the bug has now crept into you and it's here to stay. Are we going to be seeing more books from you?
Oh yes, definitely. I'm conceptualizing my third book as we
already
speak.
Already. So it's a gorgeous, gorgeous book. The title of this one is called Brave Like Me. And of course, when one looks at the book and reads into the contents of the book, clearly we're speaking of you. How close is the story to you? Is it exactly as it is in real life? Or did you sort of give yourself a little bit of liberty as well to give yourself some creative license?
Oh, no. It's everything in the book is based on real life, true events. Mm. It is why we've called the book my memoir in form of a children's book. Mm. Everything is based on a true life story. So the book explores who I was before the rest of the world got to know of me and meet me at 13, beyond me being the girl who became an activist at 13, which the rest of the world only got to meet at that age. Who was I before then? Because leading up to that moment, to have been able to take such a firm stance and such a huge act of bravery, there were experiences that had prepared me and contributed into shaping me and strengthening my voice and helping me find my bravery that brought me to that moment where I was able to be brave and take a stance. And so the book explores my childhood, who I was before the rest of the world got to meet me, my experiences growing up in an interfaith and interracial family in a post-apartheid South Africa that was not necessarily prepared for such a reality in the early 2000s. And it explores the relationship between my late dad and I. Mm. And then I find myself unpacking and unraveling the story of how I gave my first ever public speaking speech at the age of 7. And that moment shaped me for my future, because little did I know in that moment that I would later one day give many more speeches.
I think
many, many more globally.
What is important is, of course, you're centered at the center of this story, and many people, as you said, know of your story when you were in high school. But I thought the themes that you were tackling were really, really important. You speak of a speech that you gave when you were 7, but leading up to the speech, there were things that you highlighted that I think were very important. Elements of bullying, elements of being confident in yourself, and how your parents were able to shift you to being a woman, well, a young girl at the time, who was able to stay firm in who she is and her beauty and her confidence.
Yes. So in me writing about the experiences of growing up in an interfaith and an interracial family, I dealt deeper into some of the internal challenges my childhood self had.
Yeah.
In the first part of the book, I've written about how I didn't quite look like my dad, neither did I quite look like my mother, and people always stared. And I unpack the complexities that came with me having to live and be bold with my family, but also the identity internal struggles. And through the book, I am empowered and motivated by my dad to embrace my differences, because everyone has unique abilities that set them apart from everyone else. And if I can embrace my differences, I'm able to be brave and change the world. And that is explored quite deeply in the book.
Yeah. No, it really does come through quite deeply. And the way in which your parents, from my reading, just really were always right there beside you, you know, in guiding you, in not necessarily asking you to be part of the problem in fighting, but just back at home, remember who you are, your grandmother, you know, look at your mother and all of that. To what extent do you think even now that your lineage has supported you in the work that you're currently doing?
Oh, absolutely. In the book, I really beautifully unpack my relationship with my dad. And in the work that I do, how has my lineage supported me? Well, firstly, there wouldn't be the story of resistance from Zuleika Patel if there wasn't the man from India who met the woman from Gwandebele, and those two people came together and had to be brave to remain together in a society that misunderstood their union. So Zuleika Patel doesn't exist without those people. Zuleika Patel does not exist without the courage and bravery that she was taught by her dad, who is a man that had to be brave because he had to come from India and come as a young immigrant into a new country and build himself and establish himself in that new country. And he also partook in the anti-apartheid struggle for liberation. And so the story of Zuleika Patel does not exist without these people.
You know, there are things along the way that that you also explore, you know, peers and how sometimes, you know, spaces can be difficult. School, you speak a lot about school and the various phases you come through. But I, you know, up until I read this book, I didn't realize even as you were going through the motions of the protests that we all know of, that there were anxieties. I didn't realize to what extent you were anxious about it. Just maybe talk me through that. It all seemed like you were taking it in your stride, but the book highlighted, you know, that there were real anxieties about your action.
Yes, absolutely, there were. And in the book, you can even see through the illustrations that my young 13-year-old self had struggled with some anxiety before taking a brave stance that everyone in the world stood behind and was later inspired by to do the same. And my childhood self, through the book, I unpack how facing discrimination head on causes some insecurity, and wanting to do something but not being sure how to do it caused a lot of anxiety. And then leading up to taking this brave stance where once again I'm reminded of my lineage and I'm reminded of the people who I come from and their bravery, I'm able to then take the stance of bravery and I'm able to be brave. And through that one act of bravery, I was able to send waves of change across the world. And that's what's unpacked in the book, that even dynamite can come in the tiniest and littlest of voices and packages. And through that, I empower a reader that bravery is something that doesn't have an age, nor does it have a size. Anyone can be brave like me and change the world.
And And what inspired you to write this book at this particular time in your life?
What inspired me to write this book? So it's also no coincidence that I've released this book 10 years, about 10 years, well, 10 years into my public activism. And it's also such a personal book that I've had to write because I knew I was going to write a second book. And so I thought, well, if I'm going to write a second book and I've already written a book about empowering African identity for children, why not write a book to teach them how to use their voices? Because one of the core things, one of the core values of my activism is to ensure that I empower others to use their voices, and I empower others to become brave and be courageous and become activists. So my activism also primarily exists to shape other activists, no matter how small the voice may be or how tiny the voice may be. And it's no coincidence that I released it 10 years into public activism to also empower children to take a stance and be brave and use their voices and aspire to change the world because they can. I was able to do that at the age of 13. And so I thought that it was so critical to release this book in this particular period.
Gosh, I didn't realize, Zuleika, it's been 10 years already.
Yes, it has. I mean, goodness. Think about it. 26 was nearly 10 years ago.
Goodness.
It's 2026 next year.
It's actually unreal. It really is unreal. And I think for me, why this is so startling is that, of course, you go to schools and you have, you know, you obviously speak to young people. The struggle hasn't changed much. Not much has moved. Or what's your experience when you visit schools?
My experience when I visit schools, firstly, I love engaging young people and the youngest of young people. Mm. I enjoy my engagements with them. And I think we are a step in the right direction because I listen to some of the ideas children have, some of the courage that they show. Some of them show so much courage at such an early age. And I definitely think that that's a step in the right direction. And my experience when I visit schools, well, I mean, as much as my stance and the movement that I formed part of founding in 2016 brought our country to a whole new state of consciousness post the apartheid regime, realizing that we've got a long way to go and so much work to do on institutionalized racism and the policies within institutionalized racism. My engagements within schools I've seen that there's a lot of work that needs to be done in policy change, structural change. But the most important thing is that it has already been sparked and it's started. And so many young people already know the wrongs and they can identify those. And that's the most important thing.
And do they feel empowered? You know, so yes, there has been policy change and really primarily thanks to people like yourselves who've made this a conversation we can all have. But do they feel empowered enough to speak up? What's your experience when you speak to young people?
Absolutely, they do. I think about my book launch, which happened just about 2 weeks ago on the 29th of March. And I'm reminded of all the children I got to meet at my launch and how empowered they were after the launch. They all came to me and said, well, I know of something that's wrong, whether it's in my school, whether it's in my community, and I want to change that. And young people are really, we're in a perfect era right now in society with young people that are aware, socially aware. They know the ills of society that are wrong, the ill of injustice, and so many of them want to speak up. So I figured, why not give them a tool to navigate them in speaking up?
Well, so, some of the things that that are bothering them, yesterday we were having a conversation with the social development, who had a children's summit, actually hosted 300 young people from around the continent. They speak of safety and those things being an issue for them. To you, when you speak on the ground to young people at schools, what are the things that are, you know, uppermost of a concern for them?
I believe some of their largest concerns currently remain the issue of safety, the issue of accountability with, excuse me for a trigger warning, sexual assault, as well as racism as well, is a huge, huge concern for young people in our country. And particularly the high school group is very concerned with racism and institutionalized racism and policy change, which is amazing, because I think this is what we've always wanted, for young people to be able to realize this ill in society and be able to speak up against it. But with the younger children, safety remains a concern. And for us all, accountability around sexual assault within schools is one of the greatest concerns that I believe we have a lot to do in terms of addressing it, because with that comes also addressing the pandemic that we face as a society in South Africa around teenage pregnancies. And most of those are not even from consensual engagements between teenagers, but they're actually as a result of statutory rape. And these are huge concerns that we in society need to tackle, and we require all role players to come to the table: government, NGOs, civil society, as well as young people as well that are brave enough to speak up.
And the racial issue that you speak of, you know, in your view, what would have to happen? I mean, it's systemic, and I'm not sure even adults know how to deal with it. Your thoughts on what would have to happen?
So I don't think we're going to be fully clued up on how to undo a system that has lived longer than us and longer than our grandparents, because this is a system that's more than 400 years old. And so we're not going to exactly have the correct formula in how to undo it. However, I believe that a huge part of society has done its job. It's also now up to government as an executive body to also do its job in, for example, the Department of Education, eradicating all racist, exclusionary language and hair policies across the board in all public schools. Is a simple thing that could go a very long way, because I don't think in 2025 to 2026, children should still be held to being forced to assimilate to whiteness and forced to assimilate to a Eurocentric identity. By now, we know that hair has got nothing to do with academic performance. Hair has got nothing to do with intellectual capacity. And we cannot make room for anyone's identity to be made to feel insignificant. And to date, we can't still be allowing children to go through 12 years of schooling and come out at the end of the 12 years of schooling and not be able to even say a single word in an African language. So such changes require a larger duty from the executive body to take that stance. And that is what I believe we should be pushing for in society, and we should be applying as much pressure as we can on them to ensure that they do this, because it's not going to only take activists to speak up, you know. We've done our part. We've brought the entire country to a new state of consciousness. But it also takes other role players, right? Because South Africa finds itself in a place where it's not enough that laws have changed. It's not enough that apartheid is no longer legalized, and it's no longer within our legislation and legal statutes. However, it's not enough that those laws have merely changed. People need to change, institutions need to change, systems need to change, and those are going to be changed by people. And when you look at people in society, we're not just the only people. There's us, the citizens, and then there's the executive body, and there's also institutions in the country, Chapter 9 institutions that are also responsible for ensuring that our democracy is upheld, the South African Human Rights Commission. We need a larger push from them to ensure that such policies don't have any room in South Africa anymore. And we need them to also push the Department of Education to ensure that they change these policies across the board. I remember in 2016, we were even having conversations at the time about a universal, a Afrocentric universal hair policy across all public schools. And so it's been so much talk about gearing up until 2030 and the National Development Plan, but signing a few things into place doesn't take 4 to 5 years. It takes political will. So we need to put pressure on our executive body to do the necessary work on their end, because we are doing our work as well as the citizens and speaking up and being brave and courageous.
The book is called Brave Like Me by Zuleika Patel. Zuleika, is the book available at all good stores?
The book is available nationwide in any book retailer. It's even currently on the exclusive books recommends chart for April. So you're able to find it in any store nationwide. Bargain Books, Wordsworth, Loot, Take a Lot, exclusive books. Any book retailer, you will find the book in 5 different languages: English, Afrikaans, isiNdebele, isiXhosa, and isiZulu.
Congratulations once more, and really I wish you all the best and really hope it flies off the shelves. Zuleika Patel is the author of a book called Brave Like Me. That brings us to the end of the show. We'll be back tomorrow at 8.
Click kaya959.co.za.
This is how we do it.
To download the Point of View podcast.